All right, good morning once again. Good to be with you. Thank you guys, appreciate y'all. Good to be here. So how'd we sleep last night? Who's got a nap today? Well, yeah, I've got some amens and some hand raising going on today. The good old time change gets you every time. So, but it's good to be with you all. Now, if you've been here the past several weeks, it's quiz time. Is this the same outfit I wore last week? And I generally am not. Katie gave me a look of like, I'm not real sure. And I'm not real sure either. But if it is, it should be clean. Yes, that's right. But it's good to be here. And whether or not we're wearing the same outfit, who cares, right? All right. Today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So 1 Corinthians kind of near the back-ish of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, the start of the New Testament, hang a right. There's a table of contents in the front of the Bible if you need it, and if you don't have a Bible, let us know, and please don't leave here without getting one of your very own. Love to give one to you. But I was thinking through kind of what Greg preached on last week, and today's sermon, and really next week's as well, thinking about just being empowered by God. We're empowered by God and able to do things not of our own wisdom or speech or anything like that. So it got me thinking a little bit, like, what would be easiest for you to talk about with people? Like, what would be easiest for you to talk about? If I said to you, like, hey, we got to fill some time. We got some time to kill. Or, hey, you've been selected to do a TED Talk. I need you to talk for like 25 minutes. If you could talk for 25 minutes, what would you talk about? Now, some of you maybe just talk for 25 minutes, I'm out, ski. Like, you're already hitting the eject button right now. But you could do it. Like, 25 minutes can go pretty fast. You could do it, and you could just ramble on and make it up. But you would probably pick a topic you know most about. Or maybe a topic that you're passionate about, or maybe a topic where I could talk about it and there's no real, like, in consequences of it. You could talk about your job, you could talk about your upbringing, you could talk about your kids, your greatest, you know, or the greatest sports franchise, your favorite movie, or whatever that may be. Like, you could do it, right? Your hobbies, whatever it is. And you could easily do it, probably because you're comfortable with it, or you've practiced it, you've talked about it, you give it a lot of thought, you give it a lot of, I would say, headspace or whatever that may be. Now, if I said, can you as easily proclaim the testimony of God for 25 minutes, do you feel as confident doing it? And this is one of those things I've thought about, too, is if Greg's up to preach and he can't make it, he's sick or whatever, and then it's like, all right, Andrew, you go for 25 minutes. I mean, there's a little bit of like, involved here. Okay, not just because I couldn't ramble on, you all could just sit there for 25 minutes or whatever, but it's me trying to do it. It's me trying to make something happen instead of using, as we're going to talk about, the power of God. And this is why we told Ken Jones to have a break glass in a case of emergency sermon at the ready, okay? But you could do it, all right? And the good thing to think about today is we talk about power, we talk about proclaiming a testimony, we talk about being sent out, we talk about what we're supposed to do as believers, is that the power of salvation or the growth of a church or God's work in the church, it doesn't solely rely on us. And that is a good thing. We are not unequipped to do these things that God has told us to do. Now, the sermon today, the title is The Simple Proclaiming. A couple days ago, Katie was like, what's your sermon title or what's it on? And I was like, well, I had just a worst brain fog. It's like about talking good and it's on like this scripture. And she's like, what? And I'm like, it's about like being able to talk about God easily. And she's like, well, this is not off to a great start. she's like, you wrote it down, didn't you? I was like, yes. I go, maybe this is kind of the point, because I couldn't even articulate to her about what I was supposed to be preaching on. But I think it'll go better than this. So what I think about today in the simple proclaiming, the proclaiming of the goodness of God, the proclaiming of Christ and Him crucified, what I think about today is the role of a believer and even pastors or preachers a role that we have in the Word and how we proclaim the gospel and the good news of Jesus. And really today, what it does and what it doesn't require of us. So we're starting off today, hey, we need to proclaim the testimony of God. We need to share the gospel, the good news. It's a good starting point. We're like, all right, what is that? So the good news of the gospel is that God is all powerful. He created all things. He created man. Through man, sin entered the world, and we're all doomed under that sin curse. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves right before God. But God, being rich in mercy, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He sent Jesus to come, being fully God, fully man. He lived a perfect and sinless life, following all that God told him to do. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again 3 days later, and through faith and belief in the work of Jesus Christ, God is redeeming a people back to him. And we must confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. And with that knowledge given to us, that understanding, that revelation, we will live a life that honors him, won't be sinless, but when we pass, we'll go to eternal glory with him in heaven. So the bad news is your sins from separated you from God. The good news is God has made a way back to him through Jesus. Okay? And that's what we are going to proclaim today as we read this. So that's our starting point, things to think about. I want you all to think about what sharing the good news of Jesus, what it does and doesn't require of us. All right, so we're going to read 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. So in your Bibles, 2, 1 through 5, and we'll be going back to chapter 1 quite a bit today also. Here we go. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom, for I had decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for saving the Apostle Paul, from bringing him out of darkness, for him going to these places to proclaim who you are to all people, proclaiming your goodness, working through difficult situations and imprisonment and shame and beatings and all the things, but that he relied on you for all power, and that he relied on you for all things, relied on you for all sustaining. And Lord, that we would reflect that as well, that we would not lean on our own wisdom, our own ways of doing things, or trying to reinvent things that you've told us not to do, but that we would use the power that you've given us, that we would use that to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that we would see how simple that is and how we can rest in you as we go through today's sermon, that you would help me in that you would save anyone here today that's not lost, and that you would remind all of us that are saved of your goodness and your care for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing today is something must be said, verses 1 through 2. So something must be said. We see the very beginning, Paul says, "And when I came to you, brothers," okay? So the first thing that Paul reminds us of in verse 1 is that it's kind of proclaiming the testimony of God, proclaiming the gospel requires a little bit of movement, okay? He went and he did this thing. There's some action, there's some movement to it. Now you think about, like, Paul had to go and talk to people intentionally. If you're ever out, this may be me, if you're out in a public setting, like, I need to go talk to this person, or like, I need to go, like, do this, I gotta get out of my comfort zone to go talk to people, okay? You think about that, probably gives us all a little bit of like, eh. But Paul shows us he had to intentionally go to these places. He intentionally went. He intentionally made the effort to, and knowing some of the consequences of what it might be. Think about taking some action. This is not just being a missionary in a faraway land to go to those that are lost. This is intentionality to your next door neighbor. This is intentionality to people you work with. This is intentionality to people maybe you've been friends with your entire life. Okay, as Paul says, we have to go to you. Okay, he went to them proclaiming the testimony of God. And think of that when we say that, or we go to it, there's a couple I say things we need to remember as we go to these people. The first thing is we have to keep it simple. We have to keep the proclaiming of Jesus Christ and Him crucified simple. Oftentimes when it's time to talk or time to go, like we get maybe a little worked up, we get a little overwhelmed, we get a little unsure of what to say. Maybe for some of it's not necessarily the starting point that's the problem, but maybe it's like, where do I stop? Okay? Like the thing about talking about God, it's like, I know to start, but where do I land the plane? Where do I stop? And I think the thing that we needed to rely on that we maybe don't or talk about, and Greg talked about this a little bit ago, is the help of the Holy Spirit. Like, how are we avoiding God's help and the things that He's told us to go do? How are we not praying for the help of the Holy Spirit? How are we trying to just make this all happen on our own? And we think about going to and telling people about the gospel, about God. It doesn't say here to, like, give all the viewpoints of all Christian theology, give all the viewpoints of all Christian, you know, life and history and all those things. It doesn't say, like, when you go proclaiming the testimony of God, make sure you got all the different viewpoints of end times, like, locked down, okay? It doesn't say, like, make sure you know all, like, the church polity stuff that you need to talk about. Make sure you know all these things. I'm not saying avoid learning these things, but oftentimes we're going to overcomplicate it instead of making Jesus Christ and Him crucified the simple message that it is. It's a simple message, but it's still a difficult one sometimes to understand. I don't believe the lie that this going to people and talking to them about God is going to require a huge speech. Like, we just need to make the message clear. Like, don't spruce up what doesn't need to be. And don't get too worked up or too in your own feelings about how am I going to say these things that we avoid it altogether. And at least kind of in the second avenue of that is that we need to have a clear and, I would say, practiced delivery. If we're going to talk about God, I think it's, or talk about Jesus Christ and crucified, proclaiming the testimony of God, I don't think it's a bad thing to practice this, okay? Now, if you have children or grandchildren in the household or a neighbor kid that's always around, you have an audience to practice on, okay? And it's not just to practice on, you've been told to tell these people in your care to do that. The thing we have to think about, too, is in a clear and practiced delivery, it still requires the power of God. But I would say that God still is worth our best effort in this, all right? This isn't one of those things where it's like, well, I'll just proclaim the testimony of God and He'll give me the power to do it. And when I start, I'm just going to go into this unconscious state and then wake up when it's all over and be like, what did I say? Like, did I proclaim? Like, it's not like a full power takeover, but God uses our weakness. God uses the things that we're not necessarily good at all the time to show His glory through us. Have you ever heard the term, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words? So I think there's like two ways to look at this. Like the first would be that your life and how you live your life matters. And it shows Christ, and it can show Christ's care and love for your life. But it's not going to be like, they saw me open that door for that little old lady. They must know about Jesus now, okay? I think the other aspect of it, or the other side of it, is to say, well, I've lived this life that honors God. I've done all these good things, and now I don't have to intentionally tell anyone about Jesus. That's just not the case. Like, living a godly life is good, but I would say words are better in proclaiming the gospel and sharing the news about Jesus. Now, reputation does matter. It's easier to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus to others if they know how you live your life. But we have to go out and tell people. There's a lot of nice people that we would say live a good life that are headed to hell or are already there, right? Reputation matters in this. So preach the gospel and use words. It thinks back to what Paul said in Romans 10:14. He says, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Now, this doesn't mean that God can't save people or reveal Himself to them in a variety of ways, but the task at hand is for us to go and tell people and use words. What I want to think about is each time, and it said at the end about someone preaching, when I think about it, each sermon here, whether it's me, Greg, or someone else, I don't want people leaving here and be like, wow, what a great sermon. Like, he really brought it. Like, that sermon was excellent. And that's not a bad viewpoint, but the main goal of it, it should be, what a great God. Like, what a great savior. Whenever we're telling people about the testimony of God, it's not about how well we make the delivery, but it's how well we showcase the goodness of God in whatever we say. It's one of those things we must know and we must practice. We see the main point of all of this that Paul's telling these people about in Corinth, and it's in verse 2, where it said, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So we think about what's the starting point when we're talking. Where are we heading through this? And Christ crucified is the most important starting point to what we're talking about. It's the most important thing we've got to deliver. It's the most important thing that God will use to save lost people. Greg preached on last week in chapter 1, verse 23. It said, this is probably one of my favorite verses of the Bible, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles." So we understand that what we're preaching or what we're telling people is going to be difficult, but it's what we are called to do and called to say. If we're called to do it and called to save it, then we have to remember that this brings us to our second theme. Our second theme today is God's power. Like, if he's calling us to do these things, he is not leaving us unequipped. He's not leaving us to just be like, all right, good luck to you. We'll see how this works out. He's with us and empowering us through it all. You think about in verse 3 through 4, we'll read them again. Paul says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We read this, and I was thinking through, like, what was Paul's position in this? Like, what was Paul's stance when he went to these people? And it's not unlike how we may be too. He was scared. Think about it. He was nervous. He was trembling. He was fearful. He couldn't talk good through it all. You think about what Paul went through, and like, does this seem possible for Paul to be that way? Think about how God saved Paul, like the revelation to it. Like, Paul was blind for a while, and his sight was restored. Paul had these amazing revelations that we didn't see any yet. He was still afraid and had to be reminded to himself of God's goodness. Now, when I asked you earlier if you could proclaim the testimony of God for 25 minutes, how did that make you feel? Or how does that make me feel sometimes? A little scared, maybe a little nervous, unsure of what to say. And that can happen to us if we are not relying on God's power to do it. We think about all of this and all of what God does, from showing how our needs are met to salvation. Dependence on God is the point, okay? Through whatever we're doing, dependence on God is the point. And we have to remind ourselves, if I said it a few times, no believer is unequipped. We just try to equip ourselves in this. The first thing I think we need to think about is asking God to help, or the power to help us, something we do first. In anything that we do, you know, proclaiming the testimony of God, or making it through the day, or making life decisions, or whatever it is, are we asking God for help first? Or do we try to do it ourselves for a while, then it fails, and then we'll be like, oh, yeah, I've got something that could help me. That would be God. And I've avoided that altogether. This applies to all aspects, too, of sharing the gospel. And in chapter 1, verse 5, we have to be reminded that it says that in every way, you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. In every way, he has enriched us. In every way, he has shown us that we can do things outside of ourselves because he is helping us in it, and especially when we're proclaiming the gospel. Remember last week that our weakness shows his power. In chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, reminder, it says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Now, we think about God's power or our power. The problem is, a lot of times our pride gets in the way of this. You read this thing, and you know, it's a harder thing maybe to think about sometimes, is like, we weren't wise, we weren't powerful, we weren't of noble birth, we were maybe foolish in the world that God's using us. No one likes to admit those things about themselves sometimes. Like, it's a harder thing to think about. And that's why we try to use our own power to do the things that God has given us power to us. Even in Christ, we don't like to admit our weakness sometimes, but our weakness can show God's power. Think about being equipped by God and being sent out. You think about the end of Matthew 28, where Jesus is doing the Great Commission, the final send-off before he ascends back to heaven. In Matthew 28, it says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Like, do we believe that he is with us always in the things that he has told us to do to the end of the age? Now, we have to remember also that if we are scared to do this, or we have hesitancy to go share the gospel or testimony of God, we have to remind ourselves that we know that this won't make sense to everyone. We have to remind ourselves that in fear of failure or in fear of being disappointed, we have to remind ourselves that we can't save people, that we aren't the ones to reveal God's glory to them the way that he does. In chapter 1, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now, the power of this, we have to think about, too, of what God's helping us with is in the content, not necessarily the delivery. Like, you ever think back to a conversation and think, like, I wish I would have said that? Like, now, admittedly, normally, that's probably in an argument, right? Like, if I'd have said that in that argument, that'd have got them good. Or, like, and another thing, like, a week later, as you think back to these things, like, you're like, I wish I'd have said this. Now, this is one of those things that this will happen to us as we share the gospel. This will happen to us as we talk to people about God. These things will come up, like, I wish I would have said that. And we have to rest in the content of what we said. If we have proclaimed Christ crucified to somebody, that is good enough. Like, I think it's always one of those things that the Holy Spirit will remind us of Scripture. The Holy Spirit will help us in conversations. But to do that, we have to have a starting point in what we say in that. Now, we think about how oftentimes we are tempted to use our own power instead of God. I was looking through this, and I was writing some things down. At first, it was like two approaches, but now it's turned into four. It's like, what are four ways or four temptations that we try to use our own power instead of God's power? And I think a few of them include how we try to do things ourselves first. Now, the first one I was thinking of was, Greg and I went to a preaching thing years ago, and the guy was talking about, like, we've got to use unction in our preaching. Like, we've got to be animated. We've got to, be powerful in what we say. And I think that unction in itself is not a bad thing, but if it's manufactured, or if I'm trying to be some sort of, like, character up here that you don't recognize the rest of the week, then that's of Andrew's power. That's not of God's power in that. Like, the temptation would be, even in when we're sharing with people around us, is like, how can I be so passionately empowered that I'm working to get an emotional reaction out of you? Okay? Like, I have to remind myself, and we all do, is like, I can't say anything more incredible or anything more inspiring except that God, who made everything, who you have sinned against, who was your enemy, has made you righteous by the work of Jesus Christ. Like, that's as simple as it gets. I can't be out here looking and saying something so inspiring or like viral clip worthy that I'm trying to promote good things that I'm saying instead of relying on the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, I'm not saying there's not good speakers out there, but if I am trying to do that myself, or if you're trying to do it yourself, or trying to be so passionate that we're manipulating the situation, we're trying to use our own power instead of power of God. Now, the other side of that coin would be, and I'd say the same thing we went to, was how can I just nerd out on the gospel? How can I just nerd out on the Bible where I don't ever talk to anyone, where I just have the doors closed, or, you know, all weekend I am away from my family because I'm trying to memorize this sermon, or I'm away from my family, or away from fellowshipping or outreaching with people just because my doors are closed and this is the only thing that I care about in this. Like, I've got to be, we have to be approachable, we have to be personal, we have to not seek, we have to be seeking and going out as Paul said he did in verse 1. We can't just lock the door. I can't come to you and this look like you're in a stuffy lecture hall for 30 minutes every Sunday. Like, this is proclaiming the goodness of God in this. The other thing I think that we are tempted to often do is to adjust the message to take away the seriousness of it. Greg and I talk a lot about this, and he's better at it than I am, but like personality within context is always good. As I said earlier, if I'm portraying the gospel of God in a way that I don't normally speak, that's not realistic. Like, God gave us all a personality. God gave us a way of speaking to one another. God gave us life experiences to use, but we don't want to be using it in a way that maybe downplays the seriousness of the message. Like, I really try to be funny without being distracting. I try to work in ways that we understand God's message to us in examples. But if I'm trying to do these things to downplay the seriousness of sin or downplay the need for a Savior, then we've missed the boat completely and I'm using my own power. Now, the fourth way, I think, is that we can soften the message so we think it's easier for people to accept. Remember again in chapter 1, verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now, we'll talk more about this revelation next week, but oftentimes when we're talking about God or church, like, our main thing is just come to church, just get here. And oftentimes we can avoid or downplay the message of the cross. We know that it's offensive to those that are perishing. We know that it doesn't make sense a lot of times, but it is the power of God, and we don't ever want to soften that message. Christ was killed. You need to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. This is a life change, not assigning your name to a paper and just getting baptized. As I said earlier, there's lots of nice people headed to hell. Again, as I said it before, this doesn't get us out of being prepared using the power of God. God deserves our time and study and effort to clearly proclaim Christ crucified. Our third theme today is kind of off of this one, but like for whose glory? Our third theme today, for whose glory? Verse 5 again says, "So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." If we read this together as a group, I think we would all agree, like, verse 5, you know, as a believer, we want people to see the power of God and not in the wisdom of man. You know, believe, I've heard it said before, believe God, not just me. But in a roundabout way, maybe not even knowing that we're doing it, we can easily reduce the power of God and insert our own wisdom and our own glory instead. Now, how and why do we do this a lot of times too? Well, I think the first why is that we are oftentimes impatient with the results. We're impatient with the results. If we're doing these things, we're not seeing the results, then we often get impatient. If you read like through Acts, or you read through even Paul's letters, you see amazing rapid growth. We see the Spirit at work. We see things happening quickly. We can also be impatient by seeing the results of other churches. Like, well, look at their growth. Like, look what they're doing. They must be doing something right, and we must be doing something wrong. And a lot of times we make a lot of wrong assumptions. Just because a church is full doesn't always mean it's healthy. Just because a church is small doesn't always mean it's good either. That's our first why. And as God's people, we are always impatient. Like, we have always been wanting things on our time. And we shouldn't be surprised when we are impatient, when we start building a golden calf, when God doesn't do things on our time. Remember, we are told to preach Christ crucified first. The other thing, the why or the issue of thinking about for whose glory we are doing this is the false thinking of, if it's not growing, then I must be doing something wrong. Like, why aren't more people coming here? Why aren't more people being saved? If I've wrongly think that I've done all the church growth outreach tactics. Now, tactics themselves aren't wrong unless we put them above the power of God. Like, I've done all these steps. Why isn't this working? I've done this the right way, but oftentimes we've done it for our own glory and our own time frame. Now, have we done, this is what I call Andrew's rhetorical time, okay? Paul does a lot of rhetorical questions in Scripture. But have we done the church tactic things instead of sharing the gospel directly with people? Do we do these things to make ourselves feel like we've done something when ultimately we've avoided what God has directly told us to do? If you think about the whole ministry of Paul himself, Paul had the power of God, and so do you, really. Like, while he was tasked, especially as an apostle, he did all these great ministry things by the power of God first, you know. Think about this. Paul didn't have social media. Paul didn't do planned community events. Paul didn't have this strategy that he was working out. He didn't have a checklist. He probably didn't have KPIs. They probably didn't know what a KPI was back then. And while he did have co-laborers, he did have people that helped in the harvest, it was just preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and being faithful to do that wherever he was. Amen. And shame on us if we ever think that the power of God for salvation somehow needs to be adjusted or upgraded to reach the lost. Now, I say earlier that events or these tactics or outreach things don't always equal salvation. I'm not downplaying them necessarily, but I want to hit on that intentionality is needed. Like in verse 1, Paul went to these people, intentionality is needed. Events are oftentimes easy entry points to include people, to see how you can live out the gospel in your own life, maybe in your own marriage, around your children, or how we interact as a church body together. That's good to include people on. But oftentimes we forget the step two to it. Like it's like we have these things, we do these things, it's just like, well, see you later. But we have to engage more in the conversation of sharing the gospel with these people. Reminder is that God saves and gives the growth, not us. Even in spite of ourselves, a lot of times God gives the growth. That reassurance should be freeing to us to share the gospel more. More on that sermon for next week. What I want us to think about is if we're wrongly thinking that God's not doing something here, don't hit the panic button or give up. Or maybe just don't even think that I need to avoid this altogether. We have to be steadfast. My favorite verse in the Bible, or one of, I feel like I say that all the time, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Like our sharing of the gospel, our living this out, our proclaiming the testimony of God will not be in vain, even if we don't see the results or if we wrongly think that these are our efforts that God is not using. The results may not be what we planned. I think oftentimes God plans it that way, but they will be better because of God's plan. The work from us is still required. We think about all this at the end. He talks about of today's text is that saving faith will never rest in the wisdom of men. I think that's a good thing. I think oftentimes that's why so many ministries have failed when we start putting our own spin on things, our own power, our own wisdom on this. Like, you think about this, if you're going out to proclaim the testimony of God, you can do this because the power of salvation was given to you. This power of God was given to us. And we know that this isn't folly to us. But I want us to think about, like, how am I praying for the power of God to be displayed through me in the proclaiming of the testimony of God? Do I really believe that he can save everyone through this message? I want us to think, church, let's stop being surprised on who God saves. Like, let's not be shocked by this. Like, we're praying for God to move in this community. We're praying for God to have a spiritual awakening in this town. Like, let's not be surprised when the power of God does something that's way above anything we could think or ask. Like, let's not be surprised by that. Like, do we still believe that the power that saved people in Acts and in Paul's ministry still exists today? Like, it absolutely does. But let's get our own power and our own wisdom out of the way first. So the question is, oftentimes, what are we going to do with all this information? The information of relying on the power of God, or the information of the gospel itself. Like, what do we do with this information? Do we just say, well, see you later? Or do we believe that this is happening here in Ellsbury? Do we believe that this could happen through you where you live as we proclaim the testimony of God to those around us and those that God has put us in touch with each and every day? We got some application for us today. Application, remember, first, this is Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is what we are here to proclaim and do. This is step one. Next step, I want you to practice your gospel presentation. Now, this is one of the things we've done a few different times to here, but I want you to practice on it. If you got a spouse or a friend or, like I said, captive audience of your children in your home. They can't run away legally from you, I don't think. So you can practice this on them, even if they are saved or not saved. And the third thing I want to think about is that we have to rely on the power of God through all of this. We have to rely on God to make it happen, but he has called us to go. He has called us to be used, which is kind of a crazy thing in and of itself. Not only were we enemies of God that he's made right, but he's using us to proclaim his goodness to other people. That should be mind-blowing to us all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for using us. We thank you for how you have shown your great power through our weakness, and that we would rest in our weakness, that your power would be shown that we would not try to manufacture things that are not of our own self, that are not of our personalities, that are trying to be a performance in any way. But also, Lord, give us the power to say something. Give us the power to be bold. Give us the power to know that ultimately salvation doesn't rely on how well we talk to someone, but then in our weakness, people would see your goodness. And in our weakness, they would see your saving grace, that we would go and have intentional conversations. Help us in understanding your word by reading your word. Help us understand your power by praying for it and resting on that and being thankful for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.